the highest aim that we can achieve in the man body is to know God. So to know God, there are some essentials. First, we must know ourselves first. We are conscious entities, the drop of the ocean of all consciousness, of the same essence as that of God. So man body is the highest, golden opportunity that we have got, in which alone we can find Him. So find Him, there are some further things required. Someone in whom God is manifest, who is Word made flesh, who has seen Him. Lord Krishna says, if you want to see God, you must go to somebody who has seen God. Who has not seen God, how can he make you see God? First you require that. And further thing is, what is such Word made flesh man, and what should be our relation with Him? So God-man, God resides in every heart in which He is manifest and been commissioned by God to bring back the child humanity who are bewildered in the world. So what a God-man will do, first he we give a demonstration how to know ourselves, not merely at the level of feelings or trying inferences, but really raising up from the man body up to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, and there open your inner eye to see the light of God. This is first function. Though we have not seen God, how can we make you see God? That's the first thing. And further, what should be our relation to such a person? That's very important. You know, in all religions, in all so-called social bodies, the purpose is to know God. Naturally, all religions say that you have joined there only to know God. So God is the beloved of all. So thousands are the lovers of God in all religions, in the East or the West. But beloved is the same. Call Him by any name you like, God, Allah, Vaheguru, or any other name. So that God, there are two aspects of God. One is God absolute, the other is God into expression. Absolute God nobody has seen any time in life. When He wanted to be man, there was vibration, that power came into expression, that is called word, naam, or shabda. That has two aspects, light and sound. So we can see God in the form of light and sound. God is manifested all through the universe. Only the question remains with what eyes we can also see God, with which the masters have seen. And they say those eyes are different, they are not the eyes of the flesh or bones in which He can be seen, but there is some other eye which is latent, which is called third eye, single eye. When that is opened, the Master opens that eye to enable you to see God. So there are two kinds of teaching given by the Master. One is by the word of mouth and one by receptivity. By the word of mouth you can have about one third of the teaching. By two third, remaining two third will have by receptivity. So to have success in this way, full success in this way, to have devotion for the Master. So devotion means when two become one. God, man is the mouth of God, and one man becomes Guru man, then naturally becomes God man. So there are so many religions. In every religion, they are all meant to enable us to see God. So God is the same. They are not different for Hindus or Mohammedans or different nations. It is not the monopoly of any sect of any country. The sun rises, that gives light to all the world over. Similarly, such like persons in whom God is manifest, they come for all the world over. So, He whom we desire is the beloved of the whole world, and the one God of all men, of not specifically for any religion, one or the other. So God is one for man, for all creation and all his devotees. Have the desire, those who have the desire to meet God, He is the same. So target is one, artist may be many. So, whichever archer shoots at the target, he derives the full benefit on the man body. So this is the first thing that is required, like devotion is required. And those who are really after God, they are all really brothers and sisters of God. Truly speaking, we are all drops of the ocean of all consciousness, we are brothers and sisters in God. But though you are all after the same object, then they are truly related to each other. So within each master soul, there has been one thing that we notice. And what is that? That he has got devotion for his Guru. And without the devotion, none can have realization, full realization. For instance, Christ said what? I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Very clear word. If branches are embedded in the tree, they bear for fruit. If they are cut off, then they can bear no fruit. So for that reason, all this is the thing most important. And we are wanting many cases like that. We may be abiding by the... First of all, we do not keep His commandments. Christ said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. To keep commandments is first thing, but to have devotion is still higher. So for that reason, Christ said, I am the vines, you are the branches. So long as you remain abandoned in me, you bear forth much fruit. Then he very clearly said, you cannot do without me. So devotee cannot do without the Guru. It means that as long as one is not truly joined to one's Guru, one cannot be true devotee, and furthermore cannot really become a true devotee of the Lord. So this is what Master said, you see. Prophet Muhammad says, God is so great that all these universes I have made, they are all high or low, they are not sufficient to maintain me. But strange enough, I reside in the heart in which I am manifest. To be there, the Guru precedes God, for we have not yet seen God, and we must become as subtle, as fine as He is, to be able to do so. Up to that level, God is subtlest of the subtlest. And we should also come up to that level if you want to see Him. But until then, each man views life from his own level. So, as I said, those who have not seen God, how can you? First step is stepping stone in Guru, Master. To take the example, there's nothing. There is something, but it is not up to the level of our eyes. Either our eyes should be so fine, so subtle as the air is, or whatever is in the air, so much magnified, so that it can come to the level of our eyes, only then we'll see. Take the example of a microscope. That, you see, that magnifies anything about 700 times more. You see through it, you'll find microbes filled in there, which are now even there, but as our eyes are not at that level, we cannot see it. So if man is not high as God, then what is his first step? So there comes the question, Guru precedes God, for God manifests in the Guru, and from man level, teacher of man should be man. So God manifests in some human form just to teach other men on the man body. If God begins to speak from high heavens, who would care? We want somebody who has lived like us in the world, passed through the world ups and downs, and can also live unaffected and also lead us to be contacted with God. So for that reason, so Guru precedes God, see? Therefore comes before God. He is God-man, God plus man. If a disciple truly becomes Guru-man, he also becomes God-man. Just see, there is a cave of mind, the mind. A child is born in the mind, it is all darkness. He has never seen light of the sun. Someone says, look here, there's the sun rising outside, and he is in the mind, his darkest cave of the mind. He says, I don't know, then what does he do? He just has a mirror, which the rays of the sun be reflected into the cave. Then he sees some light. It is something like that. A hen was sitting on the eggs. When they were just ready to hatch, she said to the children, look your children, there's sun rising outside, there are fields outside, and the child said, mother, it might be so, but it is all darkness. What does she hen does it? She pricks the hen, and the child within pricks the hen, and the hen egg is broken. We saw, it is a clear light. This is something like that, Master does. Before we go to Him, we say it is all darkness. There is no God. Who says there is God? We close our eyes, it is all darkness. But He gives, when He gives us a demonstration, a sitting, He withdraws our attention from our outside, raises up to the level of the eyes, He begins to see light. So God is there. Such persons have borne evidence there is God, and we have seen, and you can also see. On whom? Who can see? On whom the grace of God descends? And how? God brings him in contact with someone in which he is manifest. Call him by any name you like. Unless one sees, how can you meditate upon it? Without seeing, how can you meditate on God? So God means open your inner eye to give some experience to start with, some capital to start. Here is this light. Then more, higher as it rises, the light grows more and more. So for that reason, we can only see that light if we can up to that level. So how can person put all his attention on that which he has not seen? So firstly, devotion to the Guru is very necessary. As I told you, one third by word of mouth and two third by devotion, receptive. So Guru is not the body mind that. He is word made flesh, he is word. Word is the Guru, manifested man body. So we respect the man body, word is made flesh. So as he is eternal, no, Guru is that power which is manifested upon the human pole, and as such, he is never born nor dies. How can you? It is only that takes the form of man body to take you from the level of man. So even though all masters took of the body and then left it, and we must also do the same. We have to leave the body someday. That power which works through the human form never dies. So God speaks through the body. Without the body, what can Brahma do? He must have some vehicle through which he can speak to man who are in the vehicle. So this is the reason of why man, God in man is required, God plus man is required. So, but the pole through which he is manifesting is also, we respect him, because he is manifesting, God is manifesting in there. So devotion must necessarily start with the body, we see him. You find eyes are the windows of the soul. And soul, whatever condition it is, if intoxicated, that radiate radiation, by radiation intoxication. If the soul is just all love, the natural love radiates through the eyes. And further, we see the glimpse of what is manifesting in his eyes. Those intoxicated with God, naturally you radiate, you have the radiation of God intoxication there. That is why our Master used to say when we did bow down to him, he said, what is underneath? Look at me, I am up through my eyes. So eyes are the windows of soul. In whatever color it is, dyed, you will have the same radiation. So this raises us to a higher level, and no importance, so the importance of the Guru. Bhakti or devotion to the Guru has been stressed by all masters. Christ said the same thing. Saint Paul echoed the same when he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How to be one in the physical body. So Hafiz explained that his heart was so full of the Beloved that the thought of his being there was gone. He became one with the Beloved. When the two eyes become four, two eyes face to face, so soul speaks to the eyes by radiation. So Hafiz says, I was so filled in by my Beloved that I forgot who I am. I am Hafiz or somebody else. He also says, oh God, oh my Guru, I may become the body and you become my life. So much so the people may not say later on that I was else and you are other than I. So when two becomes one, when love is such a sword, other outer sword when you strike against a thing that makes into two parts. And love is such a sword when it strikes through soul, through to two souls, through the eyes, they become one. All duality is gone. So for that reason he says, I and you may become one. I may become the body, you may become my soul, so that people may not say that I was someone, they all say you were somebody else. Kabir says, outward looking, I and God are two, but it is only with whom have not met the Guru. Then you say, he is the same. That is why sometimes you will find their very form changes into the Guru who is the mouthpiece of the Guru. So all masters say, in various phraseology of course, Hafiz again says sometimes that I have been grafted into my friend. When you graft two branches of different trees, what happens? The fruit which appears to be the same of the branch, but the color and fragrance of that is mother tree. They appear to be two, but the fragrance and the very work is the same. One is grafted to the Guru, there is no fear of anything, because Guru is not the body. Guru is the word made flesh. Once it so happened, Ramakrishna was sitting, there was one plate full of honey, and Vivekananda was there. He asked Vivekananda, you are a bee, and this is a sea of mortality. Where from you eat it? He says, sir, I will eat it only from this corner. Then why? So that my wings may not be smeared with the honey and may be caught. He said, well, Vivekananda, it is a sea of immortality, plunged headlong into it. He said, no death. When God-man, word-made flesh is eternal, no fear, death for him. How can you fear when you have become one with him? This is the whole mystery of success. This is very most important. All gurus have the same thing. And for future also, who become with the guru, they will have the full right. The whole thing will be reflected out there. So you'll find, for them such a man, there's no birth, no death, no more coming and going, no illusion, no negative power. For whom goes down into the very nectar of life, one is plunging into the immortality, how can have any fear of that? Just to explain this very thing, painters of one country went to the other country, presented themselves to the king of that country and told him, we know very high class painting, you kindly give us a chance to show you our painting. He allotted them all, that was a big hall, and one side was, wall was given already, you go on painting on this wall. Those painters of his own country also came up, sir, we also know painting, you kindly also give a chance to show our merit. All right, they put a curtain in the middle of the hall, and all right, you act on the other hall. So in a month or so that was ready. Those painters who came from the other country, they went to the king, our painting is ready, would you kindly have a visit to that? He has been visiting those painting of the other country, men of the other country, he was seeing they are doing something. But the men of his own country were doing nothing on the other wall. He went there, saw it was wonderful painting done by those men. And then the painters of his own country said, will you kindly examine our painting too? He said, well, you have done nothing, how you say? Sorry. The curtain was taken out. To great amazement of the king was, the very paintings which were on the other wall were reflected there. Whatever paintings were done in the end, there still somewhere some little blemishes, but in that thing that was not. He wonderstruck, what have you done? Sir, we have done nothing. See? Then we have been rubbing the wall so that it may reflect. So this is something condition of the Sikh, disciple and the Guru. The criterion of that is that you put the same question to the Guru and to the disciple living miles away. They have uttered the same words in them. They are two in one and one in two. So such a devotion is required to have success in spirituality. Benefit, many men are befitted, you see. They are saved from coming and going, then made to work later on. But such persons who have to guide as a child humanity, there is such like a fate. If you want to have derive full benefit from their company, we must develop receptivity. Kabir says, Master may be living on one side of the seven oceans and the disciple on the other side, direct your attention to that. Now on television we see, radio so we see, who is speaking, what he is speaking, a thousand some miles. Similarly, when two hearts become receptive, just wireless, you tick here, the same tick is there. So it is also the law of nature. This is no miracle, but it is the law of nature, which you have forgotten. So this is the simplest way of realizing God. Be correct. If you have that, then it's all right. We want become as a, any saint would require, any king would require a son to become a king, not a minister. Every saint to whom you go, what he wants. He wishes you all become saints. Every father wants his son to be more shining than himself, is it not? So I have just submitted, keeping commandments is the first thing. And developing devotion is splendid. You will become one with it. Nothing to make effort. The same thing is reflected in you. And this is state of those who rub their mind so clearly that nothing remains other than it except God or the Godman. So, such a master, what they do? They give us, you see, so many things. If you come face to face to him, eyes become two eyes, the two eyes meet. The radiation works through the eyes. And that gives you little, what? Stillness. By seeing which, your mind stills for a while, that's the first sign of a saint. Not that your body is sitting and you are just wandering outside, not like that. Just sit face to face and soul will work through the eyes, radiation. What it does, this is the first thing in the company of the saints. By seeing which, by sitting in the company of which, you have little mind at rest. Why? Because the saint or the master, he's got stillness within, you see. By radiation his heart is at rest. In intoxication of others also, he controls the souls of anybody. When souls are little attracted, then mind works only from the soul. So ultimate results come when mind does not run away for a while, for the while you are sitting full attention there. So if those who come at the feet of such a master, the result is we become air-conditioned. How? We draw, all these feelings come out of things when we are in the controlled by the opening faculty. And the master gives you a rise, demonstration to rise above outgoing faculty. And from there only it is we who give strength to the outgoing faculties and outer things. When your same master gives it, sitting like that, you are given a contact with the God and expression power within you, intoxicated, your soul is intoxicated with that. Naturally, you also, when have stayed there, when you are concentrated there, you work in the world, but outer things do not reach you.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was from a talk that was given by Master at Lincoln High School in Anaheim, California, on November 27, 1972. Our reader this evening is Marcia Crosby. Hello, Marcia.
Good evening, everyone. This evening I will be reading from the February 1976 Satsandesh magazine, a question and answer session entitled Receptivity. Let your instrument be free of dust. This was given on February 14, 1971. Question. Master, if the sound is heard from the side without putting the thumbs into the ears, should we still put the thumbs into the ears? The Master. The sound which is heard without plugging the ears is a gift. To simply keep your attention engaged, the hearing of which would not allow any foreign effects to enter therein. But unless you close your ears and sit for hearing, that sound won't come from above and drag you into the beyond. That's the difference. Both have their own value. The first is to keep your attention. Some power is over your head. If you turn your attention to the sound, you will do all your work and not be affected by outward influences. It will act as a sheet anchor against negative effects. You will be air-conditioned. Do you follow? That will be the effect of the sound which is heard without closing the ears. This will come in due course. Even if you are working, that will go on within. That is a sort of protection extended. That is God power. But unless you withdraw here by sitting, that sound won't be able to drag you into the beyond. That is the difference. Question. But sometimes if we hear the sound, it is much stronger without putting the thumbs into the ears. The Master. This comes because of the charging from the atmosphere where the Master lives. You cannot underrate this charging. You get it free without any effort, without any payment whatsoever. The physical presence of the Master at the soul level cannot be underrated. You can have that charging even at a distance if you have developed receptivity. If you have developed receptivity, it will be just as if you are here. Where those are who have developed receptivity, the atmosphere will be charged with the sweet remembrance of the Master. There, where more than one man sits, he is there, and you can enjoy at a distance. If you have developed receptivity, you will become the mouthpiece of the Master. You will be talking, and the charging will be there. Because in the atmosphere, the words are then and there. Thought in the atmosphere will give you a boost. Now, you see, in the case of your television, from hundreds and thousands of miles, you will have sound. Sound is there already, is it not? You simply catch it. If you catch it, you will have that very boost by receptivity. It is all there. You simply need an instrument to receive it, from here, there, everywhere, do you not? If one wave of thought is there, that exists in the atmosphere, you can catch it. But if you do not have that developed instrument, it is difficult. So you can catch this like a radio instrument in your area. That thought wave exists there. You simply operate the instrument and receive. So how wonderful it is to develop receptivity. You become one with the master, you see. The same question may be put to the master and the same question put to the one who is receptive. They will answer in the same words. Do you follow the theory in the right perspective? You have to develop receptivity. And receptivity develops when nothing remains between you and the master. No other thought. If there is some dirt in your instrument, do you think that it will receive the message? All the same, even with the difficulty there, the message is still going on. It is there. Master says, sit down, and you are entuned. Sometimes, because of reactions of the past, some people do hear the sound and they don't know what to do further. They think they have disease with their ears and have them treated medically. So there are messages at different levels. The more you are entuned strongly, let me explain it in that way, the more finer things you can receive. Master speaks messages from the Most High. God speaks through him. But he is conscious of that lower level too, so he will also explain to others from their level. Do you think these things are given in books? No. I am only telling you from the common sense point of view. You can develop receptivity, have the same thought, which occurs to the master, occur to you. I think I explained to you by parables, examples given to you to bring home these things. There were some portrait painters who came to another country and asked the ruler in charge for permission to paint a mural. One wall of a hall was given to them to do their work. The people from the same country came up to the king and requested permission to also paint a mural. So they put up a long curtain along the big hall so that they would not see each other's work. These foreign painters were working hard painting. The other side was doing nothing. When the painting was ready, the curtain was drawn. And to the great astonishment of the ruler, the very same painting that the foreigners had painted was on the other wall, even clearer, without blemishes. What have you done? We have done nothing. We have simply been rubbing the wall so that it may reflect. So if you develop receptivity, Master speaks through you, but only when nothing remains between you and him. That is being receptive. Just as an instrument which remains free from all dust, quite clean, will catch. This is spirituality. To influence others, invading others, reading others' minds, is no spirituality. Developing receptivity is a first step. Go on doing. Live. Transcend the three planes. This is not accomplished in one day. Regularity pays. Go on doing so that you become receptive, so that there remains nothing, no secret, no reservation between you and the master. When you have love for somebody, do you have any reservations left? Question. Should I show a letter I have with the charged names written on it to anyone else? The Master. You may show it to the initiates. 5 names are given at initiation. You will find others will ask, what is in there? Why? Even if people know the 5 names, these are given in books. They are not charged. They are not charged. Charging helps. A further explanation of the 5 names already exists. The explanation of the 5 names is only for those who are initiated, not for others. God is explained in a scientific way as the one power which is working in all planes, called by different names according to their position. Just as the powerhouse is working here, the factory is there. The very connection is to the same one. That God power is one, called by different names on different planes, according to those planes. The power that works on the first plane, highest plane, is truth, never dies away, never changes, through dissolution or grand dissolution. That is called truth, Sat. Sat means truth. The same power which works in the second plane is devoid of cover, physical, astral, causal. He, the disciple, comes to see that he is within me and I am in him. That is the meaning of that name. But merely feeling that way is a different thing. Saying it is a different thing. Similarly, the third is beyond physical, astral, and causal planes. Other planes will go around in dissolution and grand dissolution. This is an explanation, but anyhow, this explanation will not help anyone outside. There is no imposition. I am simply putting before you a common sense way so that at least everybody will have something to grasp. Even if you know the meanings of the five names, how will it help you? Only the charging will help. These are words which are charged. But there is nothing lost in nature. Any word the master uses has its effect, of course. They work as a sheet anchor against any negative effects inside. They will come to them. You ask, why do you use these and not others? Charging will help you. So these gifts come up of themselves naturally in due course. Having the man body gives you the hereditary right to have God's gifts. They are all for you. So as I told you, a strong man revels in his strength, and a weaker man wonders how he got it. Did he get it in one day? No. These practices are to bring you up to that level in due course. Even if intellectually you know everything, can it help you? If you know in the house of our Father there are great stores of this and that, everything is all right, there are so many workers there, but still with all that, how will it help you? These explanations are only for those who are entered into the intellectual plane. Otherwise, the same thing has to be done by everyone. Go and see for yourself if there is light or not. That's all right. In the beginning, you get a little boost there, which appeals to you. But that's not the end all. Make it a part and parcel of your life, you see. Most important, very personal work, for which we cannot estimate value. I don't mean to say leave all work. Earn your livelihood, pay off those who have been connected with you by God, and work for it. Out of 24 hours, give some time convenient to you. Make it convenient. You have developed intellectually, have you not? But what about your spiritual development? You have understood the necessity of it. How much time do you put in? Long yarns have been cut down by the master, I would say. You used to have to spend hundreds of years to come up above body consciousness by controlling the breath, by passing from one chakra to another, and then finally coming up to earn that. Now, the very first day you get something from the master. Is it not a great concession? He asks you to maintain it by self-introspection. Masters used to give only when the vessel was ready, first trying to make the vessel clean, which took years, and then. So you have got a great concession, you see. Sonship is there, and we have forgotten, that's all I can say. Further, when you go to your meditations, go jolly, fresh, buoyant. Not brooding with long face, very sad as though burdens have been laid on your head. He is already within you. You are simply to turn your attention from outside. That's all. Nothing more. This is not to be put into you from outside. It is already there. How fond you become of one another. If you become as fond of that within you already existing, just see to all sides, physical, intellectual, spiritual. The spiritual side is not well attended, I would say. In a few words, not well attended, fully attended as it should be. How much time do you put in for physical things? You have been made fit for earning your livelihood, working long hours here, there, everywhere. Intellectually, you have read through books at the feet of teachers, etc., and you have come to wonderful inventions. But how much time have you put in? If any well develops there, you have to dig it and go on digging. If money is deposited in your name in the bank, you will have to go to the window. You will have more as you daily withdraw. So this is to explain to you, that's all. Just withdraw from outside. See it. No philosophy required. No inferences to be drawn. See it. Of at least that much you are sure. There is light. Now you see that what the scriptures say is all right. There is light. If you believe only that much, there is light within you, then I think we should also believe what further things they have to say. Master chuckles. So seeing is believing. Only believe as much as you see. When you see further, you will believe further. Just hear what he says. If the first thing has become true, then the other things will also become true. These are being explained to you in a very scientific, very common sense point of view. I think that at least appeals to everyone with your background. Let your instrument be without any dust, any foreign dust on it, so that you can receive. So that's all that I have to say. You come here, don't have a long face, go jolly, you see. To be jolly does not cost you anything, does it? To have kind words and to be buoyant and fresh and open. All right. God bless you all. And my second reading is from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2. And this is sections from letters that Master wrote, and this is on social conduct and ethical life. I'm starting on page 20 in the 1972 version. Service is considered an ornament to a beautiful person that adorns and elevates his or her soul to become a clean vessel for his grace. Service of any type, granted at the holy feet of the Master, is beneficial and should be cherished, as whatever one does must bring its fruit in accordance with the law of karma. The secret of selfless service is to deny the reward or recognition of any type, and on the contrary, to consider oneself as a humble instrument in the divine hands, which are the sustainers and protectors of all. All credit goes to the Master. Yet the media of love are blessed with the superb divine intoxication, which is of supreme magnitude. Happiness is the willing adjustment of ourselves to our environment. If you could devote time to spiritual practices at stated hours, it would be better. but you should be sure that no day goes by without it. The best way to have a calm atmosphere is to work amicably. You should remain devoted and loving to your husband always. Love begets love. In this way, your husband will become a helping factor in all your affairs. I know the initiates abroad are anxious to see me in person, and I also long to be amidst them. You can well imagine how happy and jolly a father would feel amidst his son and daughters who are all loving and amiable. I would therefore suggest that by the time I make a trip to America, all initiates, including leaders and representatives, make a special effort to live a pure, Christly, and master-like life as is possible, so that all initiates will stand out amongst other men and women, shining with love in full bloom and drenched in the sweet remembrance of the Lord. Honesty, strength, courage, and kindness are the rare virtues and may prove very useful for spiritual development, provided these are used properly in your daily life. I am pleased to know that you have given up the habit of smoking. The observance of strict dietary regulations is very essential for steady progress on the holy path, and any transgression is liable to affect your progress. These rules should never be violated, even for the consideration of guests. Satsang is a great helping factor. The disciple imbibes the sacred teachings in their proper perspective, and it fosters inner loving devotion for the gracious master power working overhead. Besides, you will be able to enjoy the overwhelming radiation from the master power in such a holy congregation. I appreciate your deep gratitude and loving adoration of master power, through whose grace you have been blessed with the holy boon of initiation into the mysteries of the beyond. Man is the highest in all creation. Those who love God should love all his creation. He is immanent in every form. There are sermons in stones and books in rivulets. We should live in fellowship with all creatures and with all life. All rishis and saints had the vision of cosmic unity and loved nature. Nanak tells us, "The whole creation is the house of God, and he resideth in it." You should become a source of help and inspiration to your less gifted brethren, who may better their lot by following your example. Please note, an ounce of practice is better than tons of theory. The world is fed up with preachings, and the child humanity is looking urgently for life and light. You can be the harbinger of peace and prosperity by living a life as enjoined by the Master. One developed soul will be helpful to many others. Spirituality cannot be taught. It must be caught, like an infection, which is passed on to others who are receptive. Love and all things shall be added unto you. First of all, satsang is connecting of soul with God and getting absorbed in him. Then comes the satsang presided over by the Master, who is Word made flesh. In the absence of this, all brothers and sisters should sit together in meditation and in sweet remembrance of the Master and God. The satsang receives the grace of the Master if it is conducted selflessly and with loving devotion to the Master. If it is considered to be anyone's personal satsang, it will lose all the grace of the Master. I am glad that you attend the group meetings every month and help the holy cause. One receives loving life impulses from the charged atmosphere of the holy congregations. I appreciate your commendations for the great cause and the gracious Master who has done you substantial good during the past 10 years. His grace is eternal, and fortunate are the selected few who bear testimony and are grateful. I have appreciation for the loving service that you all are doing for the cause of the Master in helping all the struggling humanity tread on the path. This is the highest service that one can do for mankind, and is, in fact, a service of the Lord Himself. It is a rare privilege to gather together in His name, to invoke His gracious mercy, and to imbibe the sacred teachings. The basis for perfect harmony and happiness is the right understanding, which is the gracious gift of Master Power, and we should consider ourselves to be true brothers in faith working simultaneously for our mutual emancipation under the protective guidance of the Living Master. Trustworthiness and tolerance bring loving cooperation, and selfless efforts bless the child disciple with reverent humility, which is the most helpful factor on the holy path. You may put in regular hours for your business and consider it as a sacred duty to the Master. All gracious help and guidance will be forthcoming from above. Satsang is a sacred arena where spiritual stalwarts are built. Here, overwhelming loving life impulses are radiated by the gracious Master Power for the spiritual benefit of all those attending these holy congregations. While we are walking on the path of righteousness, we discover that we are far from being perfect. Perfection comes slowly and requires the hand of time. It does not matter to what faith one belongs, so long as we love God and our fellow men, for our passport to the kingdom of God is the love we have in our hearts. If we are students of psychology or metaphysics and are well versed in the laws of the mind and lack love and compassion for our fellow men, we are outside the kingdom of God. It is what we are that opens the door of our soul to God and makes us His channel of blessing to help others. Some people hope for a heaven in far distant skies, but heaven is a state of consciousness in this life. If we aspire to live and love divinely, we are already citizens of the heaven to come in the hereafter. For the kingdom of God is a state of consciousness wherein we worship God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. Religion is therefore a matter between soul and God, and all other forms of worship and religious observations are in vain unless we enthrone divine love in our hearts. It is the temple of the heart in which we always keep the light of truth and love burning. Ever since the world began, there has been eternal warfare between the forces of evil and the forces of righteousness. We have been put on the way to God because of our love for God. I am happy to know your dear children are growing in love and wisdom with the grace of the Master. The gracious Master Power extends equal loving grace and protection for the blood and near relatives of the initiates. Satsang is a great helping factor. There you imbibe the sacred teachings in their right perspective and gain inner devotion for a higher spiritual life. It is during these serene moments of bliss and harmony that you are near the fountainhead of divinity and can assimilate the loving life impulses radiated by the gracious Master Power for his children. And I'll stop there. That, again, was from Spiritual Elixir, the section on social conduct and ethical life. And prior to that, I read Master's talk on receptivity from the February 1976 issue of Sandesh Magazine.
Thank you, Marcia, for reading for us. There were 61 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So Master's come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep.